award-winning night call, the Riff's Phone-In Talk Show on 101 WRIF Detroit. Our number, 313-298-WRIF. Now, here's the host of Night Call, Peter Werby.
Now, here's the host of Night Call for tonight, Miss Kelly Brown. Hi, you guys. What's up? Peter is on vacation this week. I'll be sitting in for him. I'll do my best. Bear with me. I had fun doing it last time, so, hey, first of all, hi to everybody over at Staffapalooza. Going away party for Mike's staff tonight, and they're still hanging out. I think it was supposed to quit at 9, but Staffapalooza is still going on. I guess they're into the karaoke now. Don't forget you guys have to work tomorrow. Hey, if you have any comments, Kelly at WRIF.com. Going to be talking about a number of topics tonight. All kinds of stuff happened this week. Also, hello to you guys that are just getting out of the DTE for Nine Inch Nails and Bauhaus. Stay tuned to the Riff. You might, just might hear something interesting. All right, this week, South Florida homegrown terrorists were arrested. Sure you heard about this. The seven men arrested in an alleged terrorist plot believed they were conspiring with Al-Qaeda, quote, to levy war against the United States, end of quote, in attacks that would, quote, be just as good or greater than 9/11. According to a federal indictment unleashed today. This was yesterday, actually. The campaign, which never advanced beyond the discussion stage, would begin with the bombing of the 110-story Sears Tower in Chicago, according to the indictment. The group's leader, identified as Narcile Batiste, allegedly said he wanted to kill all the devils that we can, the indictment said. The seven were arrested Thursday, most of them in Liberty City, according to federal officials. They never dealt with anyone from Al-Qaeda, the terrorist group responsible for the attacks of 9/11, though they met repeatedly with a government informant pretending to represent Al-Qaeda and swore oaths of fidelity to the group, officials said. These men were unable to advance their deadly plot beyond the initial planning phase, U.S. Attorney General Albert Gonzalez said during a news conference in Washington the other day. The authorities emphasized that the public was not in danger and all activities, including the downtown Miami parade for the heat, was to be continued. Still, authorities stopped short of saying that every member of the group had been arrested. I can tell you the investigation continues, Gonzalez says. Federal officials framed the case as one against homegrown terrorists who were infiltrated by an informant before they could take action, but said the seven could have posed a significant danger. Sounds like it. Batiste called them soldiers in an Islamic army that would wage a full ground war against the United States, according to the indictment. The suspects called the Liberty City warehouse in which they met the embassy, is called the embassy, officials said. Batiste allegedly said he wanted to attend Al-Qaeda training along with five of his soldiers during the second week of April. Obviously didn't get to that. Left unchecked, these homegrown terrorists may prove to be as dangerous as groups like Al-Qaeda, Gonzalez said. Comparing them to terrorists in Madrid, London, and Toronto, what we had was a situation where individualists in America made plans to hurt Americans. The motive? They did not believe the U.S. government had legal authority over them, said John Pistoli, the FBI's deputy director. They were separatists. He called the seven men a homegrown cell. They lived and worked in the United States, enjoyed the freedoms of our great nation, and they pledged their allegiance to Al-Qaeda. The deputy director goes on to say, their goal was simple, commit attacks against America. No comments were available from the suspects or from their representatives. The seven men were expected to appear in court later yesterday. The defendants are innocent until proven guilty, of course, the U.S. attorney said in South Florida. He said during a separate news conference in Miami that they had late yesterday. Batiste was known to his followers as Brother Naz and Prince Mana, according to the indictment. The four-court indictment charges all seven with conspiracy to provide material support to a foreign terrorist organization. Also, conspiracy to provide material support and resources to terrorists. conspiracy to maliciously damage and destroy by means of an explosive, and conspiracy to levy war against the United States. If convicted, the suspects face maximum prison sentences of 15 to 20 years on each charge. The indictment claimed that the seven men each pleaded an oath of alliance to Al-Qaeda and believed that they were dealing with a representative of the terrorist group. In fact, they were meeting with the government informant. Our government informant, federal officials said. They were not able to obtain explosives, and no weapons were found, according to authorities. This was very much in the beginning stages. It was more aspirational than operational, said the FBI agent. The group, however, asked the supposed Al-Qaeda representative to provide machine guns, boots, uniforms, and vehicles, the indictment went on to say, and group members took photographs of the FBI's field office in North Miami Beach and shot video and still photos of the James Lawrence King Federal Justice Building, other federal courthouse buildings as well, the Federal Detention Center, and the Miami Police Department in downtown Miami, according to the indictment as well. They also discussed a plot to bomb FBI buildings in four other cities as well. How serious were these threats, and how did the seven come to succeed with their plans? They certainly had the will. They were searching for the way. This is why they were talking to the government official, thinking he was an Al-Qaeda agent. They did not respond directly when asked if all members of the group have been arrested. We are confident that we have identified every individual who had the intent of harming the country. They came to our attention through people who were alert in the community. He said that the council is urging police departments nationwide to step up patrols near mosques and other Islamic institutions to help prevent any possible backlash from these arrests. Now, this might be something that you guys, and there's details in this that you just may not be able to swallow. I'm going to read it anyway, and you can draw your own conclusions. Why Bush's Iraq is worse than Saddam's. This is from Counterpunch this week. National Public Radio's foreign correspondent Lauren Jenkins, serving in NPR's Baghdad Bureau, met earlier this month with a senior Shiite cleric, a man who was described in the NPR report as a moderate and as a person trying to lead his Shiite followers into practicing peace and reconciliation. He had been jailed by Saddam Hussein and forced into exile. Jenkins asked him, "What would you think if you had to go back to Saddam Hussein?" The cleric replied that he'd rather see Iraq under Saddam Hussein than the way it is now. When one considers what the people of Iraq have experienced as a result of the American bombings, invasion, regime change, and occupation since 2003, should this attitude be surprising even from such an individual? I was moved, the journalist goes on to say, to compile a list of the many kinds of misfortune which have fallen upon the heads of the Iraqi people as a result of the American liberation of their homeland. It's depressing reading. Repeat. It is depressing reading what I'm about to read, and you may not want to read it all. And I think it's important to have it summarized in one place. Here we go. Loss of a functioning educational system. A 2005 UN study revealed that 84% of the higher education establishments have been destroyed, damaged, and robbed in the country. The intellectual stock has been further depleted as many thousands of academics and other professionals have fled abroad or have been mysteriously kidnapped or assassinated in Iraq. Hundreds of thousands, perhaps a million other Iraqis, most of them from the vital, educated middle class, have left for Jordan, Syria, or Egypt, many after receiving death threats. Quote, "Now I am isolated," said the middle-class Sunni Arab who decided to leave. "I have no government. I have no protection from the government. Anyone can come into my house, take me, kill me, and throw me in the trash." Loss of a functioning healthcare system, and loss of the public's health. Deadly infections, including typhoid and tuberculosis, are rampaging through the country. Iraq's network of hospitals and health centers, once admired throughout the Middle East, has been severely damaged by the war and looting. The UN's World Food Program reported that 40,000 Iraqi children were suffering from dangerous deficiencies of protein. Deaths from malnutrition and preventable diseases, particularly amongst children, already a problem because of the 12 years of U.S.-imposed sanctions, have increased as poverty and disorder have made access to proper diet and medicines even more difficult. Thousands of Iraqis have lost one arm or one leg frequently from unexploded U.S. cluster bombs, which became landmines. Radiate forever and infect the water, the soil, the blood, the genes, producing malnutrition babies. During the weeks of war since 2003, A-10 tank buster planes, which are munitions containing depleted uranium, fired 300,000 rounds. And the use of napalm as well. The American military has attacked hospitals to prevent them from giving out casualty figures of U.S. attacks that contradicted official U.S. figures, which the hospitals had been in the habit of doing. Numerous homes have been broken into by U.S. forces, the men taken away, the women humiliated, the children traumatized on many occasions. On many occasions, the family has said that the American soldiers helped themselves to some of the family's money. Iraq has had to submit to a degrading national strip search. Now, this is from NPR. Keep this in mind. Destruction and looting of the country's ancient heritage, perhaps the world's greatest archive of the human past, left unprotected by the U.S. military because they're watching the oil facilities. A nearly lawless society, Iraq's legal system, outside of the political sphere, was once one of the most impressive and secular in the Middle East, is now in shambles. Religious law and more prevails. Women's rights previously enjoyed are now in great and growing danger under harsh Islamic law, to one extent or another in various areas all throughout the country. There is today a Shiite religious ruling class in Iraq which tolerates physical attacks on women for showing a bare arm or for picnicking with a male friend. Men can be harassed for wearing shorts in public as children playing outside in shorts. Sex trafficking, virtually non-existent previously, has become a serious issue. Jews, Christians, and other non-Muslims have lost much of the security they have enjoyed in Saddam's secular society. Many have emigrated. Many prisons run by the U.S. and the new Iraqi government feature a wide variety of torture and abuse, physical, psychological, emotional, painful, degrading, humiliating, leading to mental breakdown, of course, death, suicide. Basically a human rights disaster area. Over 50,000 Iraqis have been imprisoned by U.S. forces since the invasion, but only a very tiny portion of them have been convicted of any crime. Unemployment is estimated to be around 50% in Iraq. Massive layoffs of hundreds of thousands of government workers and soldiers by the American Occupation Authority set the process in motion early on. Later, many desperate for work took positions tainted by a connection to the occupation, placing themselves in grave danger of being kidnapped or murdered. The cost of living has skyrocketed, income levels have plummeted. Kind of sounds like Michigan. The Kurds of northern Iraq evict Arabs from their homes. Arabs evict Kurds from the other parts of the country as well. Americans have demolished homes in fits of rage over killings of one of their buddies. When U.S. troops don't find who they're looking for in the homes, they take who's there. Wives have been held until the husband turns themselves in, a practice which Hollywood films stamped in the American mind as being a particular evil of the Nazis. It's also collective punishment of civilians and is forbidden under the Geneva Convention. Continual bombing assaults on neighborhoods has left an uncountable number of destroyed homes, workplaces, mosques, bridges, roads, and everything else that goes on to the making of... All right, well, that's enough. You guys get the basic picture. Now, like I said, I almost didn't read this, but you guys draw your own conclusions. Nobody wants to hear that about our American troops. Nobody wants to hear that at all. I mean, granted, you know, we hear stuff, we read the paper, we read USA Today, we read the Progressive, we read the Drudge Report, we listen to NPR, and we hear all kinds of different things on both sides. We don't know what to believe. I mean, we certainly don't want to believe this, but could it be possible? At various times, I'll go on to say this in closing. The U.S. has killed, wounded, and jailed reporters from Al Jazeera Television, closing the station's office and banned it from certain areas because occupation officials didn't like the news reported. Newspapers have been closed for what they have printed. The Pentagon has planted paid-for-news articles in the Iraqi press, to serve propaganda purposes. That's it. Like I said, we don't know what to believe. We certainly don't want to believe that. Is it happening? I don't know. Like I said, I certainly would hope not, but it sounds like that's what they're reporting. Iran won't respond until after August. The president of Iran said Wednesday that Iran will respond in mid-August to the package of incentives on its nuclear program offered by the West. But President Bush accused Tehran of dragging its feet. We are studying the proposals. Hopefully we will present our views about the package in mid-August, the president goes on to say to a crowd in western Iran in a speech broadcast live on state television this week. Speaking at an annual U.S.-European Union summit in Vienna, Austria, Bush said that the mid-August timetable, quote, seems like an awfully long time to wait for an answer. It shouldn't take the Iranians that long to analyze what's a reasonable deal, Bush goes on to say. The offer presented by European Union Foreign Policy Chief Javier Solana during a June 6 visit provides a range of incentives for Iran to impose a moratorium on uranium enrichment, a process that can produce material for nuclear generators or for weapons. If Iran rejects the deal, Bush has warned that it can expect UN Security Council action and progressively stronger political and economic sanctions. The U.S. and Europe are pressing for a quick answer. If it accepts the package, Tehran has to suspend its uranium enrichment entirely before the six powers will start negotiations on a framework for its nuclear program. I was in Lansing over the weekend, and they had a huge gay pride parade. It was big, all kinds of flashy floats and everything. It's kind of fun to watch. In New York, hundreds and thousands of parade goers took to the streets in New York and San Francisco on Sunday for the annual gay pride parades. Just weeks after an attack on a popular gay singer in New York and the 25th anniversary of the start of the AIDS epidemic, outrageous costumes were in the norm along the parade routes. In New York, the floats and marches turned Fifth Avenue into a sea of rainbows, of course, rainbow being the symbol. Everyone has a chance to express their affection freely, and for one day in New York, you can be free and not feel ashamed or embarrassed, says Roberto Hersimola of Miami, who was attending his ninth parade. Thousands lined Market Street in San Francisco for the 36th annual gay parade. Marching bands, dancers, floats, bearing corporate logos this year of such companies as Delta Airlines and Wells Fargo. There's much greater acceptance in corporate America, says Michael Crow, 63, who said high profile corporate sponsorship is new to this event. One float carried a bearded man wearing a white lace miniskirt and fishnet stockings who sang Madonna's Like a Virgin as a band backed him. A half dozen men dressed in underwear and top hats danced behind him. The New York parade marked the very public and triumphant return of singer Kevin Aviance. Not certain on the pronunciation of his last name. This is the singer who got attacked this week. He rode on a circus-themed float weeks after the drag queen was viciously beaten. Police have charged four young men, ages 16 to 20, with assaulting the artist while yelling anti-gay slurs. This is ignorance at its best, don't you think? Wearing a top hat, jacket, red stilettos, and little else, the man waved to the crowds, his mouth still wired shut from a fractured jaw he suffered during the attack from the four young men. Frustrating. The theme of New York's Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender Pride March was the fight for love and life. But there was plenty of talk about hate following the Evian's attack. The city's police department and reports of anti-gay bias crimes totaled 25 through mid-June this year alone, compared with 19 over the same period in 2005. A few hateful homophobes will not set us back, said City Council Speaker Christine Quinn, who is openly gay and marched in the parade. The parades took place just weeks after the 25th anniversary of the start of the AIDS epidemic, and city leaders used the event to call for greater focus on combating HIV and AIDS. Here's a little interesting story. Illegal immigrants free to go. Local police say they intercepted 20 legal Mexican immigrants, but were ordered by immigration officials to let them go free. Belmont County Sheriff Fred Thompson said his officials were instructed by Federal Immigration Services to let all 20 illegal immigrants go free, and said his department has no choice but to follow the orders from immigration officials. Thompson said officers stopped a van at 3 a.m. Tuesday, which was traveling the wrong direction on Interstate 470 in St. Clairsville. The officer discovered 20 illegal Mexican immigrants inside the van, including three who were previously deported. They never give up for their freedom. The officer immediately contacted immigration officials, who told them to let all 20 immigrants go immediately. Once we found out they were illegals, it's like pat them on the back of the head and tell them to go down the road, you'll probably get caught again. The official goes on to say the immigrants told the officer that they were traveling through Ohio to obtain work in Virginia. Let them go. Listen to this. President Bush got a little freaked out this week. President George Bush was taken by surprise when a graduate of the U.S. Merchant Marine Academy in Kings Point, New York, gave him a bear hug during graduation ceremonies on Monday. The funny thing is you got to see the picture. Bush is just looking at this guy like, oh my God! Gabriel Whitney took 6 years to graduate because of academic and disciplinary problems. When he finally got on stage, he said he was so happy that he gave Bush a bear hug and told him, "You're the man." He said, "Well, President Bush put his hands up, so I decided to go for it," Whitney said on MSNBC Thursday. Gabriel joked that he may go on tour across the nation giving bear hugs. Really, that's super funny, because Bush is just horrified. Speaking of leaders in the news, British Prime Minister Tony Blair narrowly missed getting hit by an egg as he traveled to southwest England to meet crime victims. Blair, whose Labour Party is sagging badly in public opinion polls, was greeted with cheers from 60 strong. 60? 60 people? A 60-strong crowd as he arrived at a community center in Bristol City. One woman threw an egg at him but missed its target and broke on the road. Police later confirmed that she had been arrested in connection with the egg throwing. I got a couple more interesting stories. On a much lighter note than what we've been talking about, some fun stories that happened. Anna Nicole Smith. Boy, wait till you hear this story, you guys. Toilet cleaners are restroom specialists now. TV producer Aaron Spelling dies. We'll talk about that in just a few. Trump is to build a tower in Tel Aviv to be the biggest one there in Israel. We'll talk about that in just a few. Got a couple things to take care of. This is Night Call, and I'm Kelly Brown, sitting in for Peter Werby tonight. 313-298-WRIF. Kelly at WRIF.com. If you have comments, you could send me an email. Jay Hudson is standing by, as well as Norma on the phones. We're going to talk to Jay, who is in Toronto this weekend. He went to the Nine Inch Nails show, but that's not why we want to talk to him. He said that the people there, and it's such a diverse community in Toronto, that we want to talk about the World Cup celebration going on there. There's so many different people celebrating with the different flags going through the streets. We're going to talk about what happened in the World Cup today with England, and we'll talk to Jay in just a couple of minutes after we take care of a few things. This is Night Call, and I'm Kelly Brown. Hang tough.
And now, a word from the Riff Legal Eagles. Unless otherwise stated, all entrants for WRIF contests must be at least 18 years of age and a legal resident of the United States. A household is eligible to win one contest per 30 days every 6 months for prizes valued at $600 or higher. Radio Media Detroit and its affiliates, promotional sponsors, advertising and promotional agencies, and other radio and television stations in the Detroit ADI are not eligible to participate. One entry per person. No purchase or other consideration is necessary to participate in the contest. Void where prohibited. Prizes are non-transferable or redeemable for cash. 101 WRIF reserves the right to substitute any prize for one of equal or greater value. By participating in the contest, contestants consent to the broadcast and or publication of their name, voice, face, and or likeness without compensation. Participants listening online at www.wrif.com may receive audio that is delayed by as much as 60 seconds later than the over-the-air transmission, which could potentially affect chances of winning. General contest rules are available online at www.wrif.com or during regular business hours at the WRIF Studios, One Radio Plaza, Detroit, Michigan, 48220. You're listening to WRIF.com.
WRIF.com.
back with more Night Call on 101 WRIF Detroit. Here's Peter Werby.
And I'm Kelly Brown in for Peter Werby tonight. Hi there. How are you? Detroit and everybody else listening on the World Wide Web at WRIF.com. 313-298-WRIF. We're going to get to your phone calls in just a few. I'm also kind of concerned with what you guys think of the whole Granholm-DeVos thing, which is heating up. Jennifer Granholm just started her campaign a little late, I might add, because, you know, DeVos has had his stuff running on TV for a real long time. But we're going to get to that in just a few. I kind of want to know what you guys think about that. Breaking Benjamin live in concert at 1 o'clock. Normally, Peter has an interview, but we're going to run that. Breaking Benjamin live in concert at 1 o'clock this morning. So stay tuned for that. Again, I'm Kelly Brown in for Peter Werby. Detroit has a very large Arab community, and I want to apologize for mispronouncing Arab. The last thing we want on Night Call is ignorance. Please accept my apologies. This was taken from the Progressive magazine this week. A couple of funny stories, I thought. Big House Cinema is the name of the article. The Boston Herald reports that a warden pulled the plug on the matinee showing of Brokeback Mountain at the MCI Norfolk Institution after 10 minutes. We don't need to foster that kind of atmosphere in here, he says. It already exists. These guys are alone together, some of them forever, says Ken Farillo, vice president of the Massachusetts Corrections Officers Federation Union. Quote, we're already running Brokeback Prison. End of quote. Government lawyers said it would be okay to remove the gold caps from the teeth of two accused drug dealers as part of an asset forfeiture. Reports AP, but before dragging them to a dentist office, the two defendants were able to reach their lawyers who got a permanent stay of the seizure order, so they don't have to remove their gold teeth. Representative Joanne Emerson, Republican of Missouri, doesn't know why a letter she sent ended with profanity. I think you're an a-hole, AP reports. The offensive language made it to the last line of her letter, which otherwise reads as a typical response to a citizen's question about last year's testimony of oil executives before the Senate's Commerce Committee. Emerson personally signed the letter and included a handwritten message at the bottom saying, P.S., please forgive the delay in responding. Somehow, somebody kind of jotted that at the end. I think you're an a-hole. Now, tampering with the mail is definitely a no-no, but that is kind of funny. And plus, using the words a-hole and oil executive in the same sentence can't really be that bad. Listen to what Malaysian government did. The Malaysian government opened a drive-in massage parlor along the North-South Highway in March. The aim, and we just might use this here, is to calm drivers down so as to reduce accidents from road rage. So if you're feeling road rage, you're feeling tensed up, pull in for a massage, a drive-through massage. The masseuse would have to have extra long arms, I would think. Anna Nicole Smith looks like she's all set. E. Pierce Marshall, who feuded for years with former Playboy playmate Anna Nicole Smith over his father's oil fortune. You guys all know this story. He's died this week, his spokesman said. He was 67 years old. Marshall died unexpectedly. Suspiciously, I might add. You think they're going to investigate this? Marshall died unexpectedly earlier this week in the Dallas area from a brief and extremely aggressive infection, the family said in a written statement released through spokesperson David Margulies. He decided to provide additional details about Marshall's death on Tuesday. The family would politely request that their privacy be respected during this extremely difficult time as they grapple with the devastating loss. Smith married Texas oil tycoon J. Howard Marshall in 1994. Apparently they were in love. When she was 26 years old and he was 89, he died the following year. Since then, E. Pierce Marshall locked in a legal battle over the entitlement to the estate. $474 million she's fighting for. The U.S. Supreme Court last month revived Smith's pursuit of her late husband's fortune, ruling that the one-time stripper deserves another day in court. Well, sure she does. The case has its twists and turns. She won a $474 million judgment, which would be about $89 million and eventually reduced to zero. Oh, that's what happened. That's right. It started off as $475 million, then went to $89 million, and eventually was reduced to zero, so she wasn't going to get anything. Now she's going to get another day in court. Now who knows what's going to happen? Anna Nicole Smith said in a posting on her website that she would not comment on Marshall's death out of respect for the family. And that she's absolutely thrilled to death that she's going to be a millionaire. Listen to this story, you guys, out of Washington, D.C. A stalker hid under a woman's bed for 2 days. This is true. Just for the chance to be alone with her. This is stalking at its best. How he got the keys to her house is the scariest part. And it's a serious reminder of how we need to be cautious before handing over our keys to anybody, including valets. The disturbing video shows the convicted stalker carefully hiding his video camera on the desk of the victim's bedroom. When he hears the woman and her boyfriend come in the apartment, he disappears under the bed. Carlo, it's always a Carlo. Does it seem that way? Carlo Castellanos Fiera remained there for 2 days until he was discovered by the victim's boyfriend. Ew. In a lot of ways, this is stuff of an urban nightmare, the U.S. attorney goes on to say. The nightmare started at Holy Cross Hospital, where the victim met her stalker, who was working as a parking lot attendant, a valet. In court, the victim told the judge that the discovery of the valet in her bedroom was, in her words, a horrible experience. A horrible experience. Well, I guess. When you think of scary things, you either think of somebody coming through your window, or you think of somebody hiding under your bed. And you think about that from the time you're 5 years old, because that's when the monsters come in. But when you're older, you don't think of a guy sleeping under your bed. Holy hell. His life has dramatically changed. Her life has dramatically changed as well. She is fearful when she hears strange noises, of course. Her husband, who was her boyfriend at the time of the incident, now has to be careful not to approach her from behind because it freaks her out. Moments before he was sentenced, Carlos apologized. "I'm sorry, I fell madly in love and that blinded my judgment. I beg your forgiveness." They handed down a three-year sentence, including treatment for mental illness, you think, and sex crimes. Court documents show the Hyattsville man had a change of clothes, condoms, a power cord, and latex gloves with him under the victim's bed at the time of the arrest. He was a parking valet and had obviously a crazy obsession. Okay, so I was talking earlier, Jay Hudson, our very own Jay Hudson, was in Toronto this weekend. And, you know, we all know that World Cup soccer isn't as huge here as it is all over the world. I mean, it's huge. Don't get me wrong. I know some of you are way, way, way into it. The U.S. didn't do that great this year, but, you know, that's unfortunate. We'd love to see them do well. But, and you know, when you go to Mexican Town in Detroit, they're waving the flags, too, for the World Cup and everything else. But what happened, Jay? Jay's just joined us in the studio because he heard me talking about him. What happened in Toronto this weekend as far as the World Cup goes? They go crazy
yeah,
there.
Yeah, it's just insane, man. I mean, like, obviously they had the flags on each car. I saw a million different country flags. I mean, not a million, you know, but several.
And what, there's like people
running around.
France and Mexico.
Yeah, because, you know, Toronto
Japan,
is like
Japan, Tokyo, that kind
so
of
so mixed, you know, yeah. Like culturally. And, yeah, it was insane. People running down the streets with their flag in their hand, you know, when they score goals. And we actually, me and my girlfriend were there. We were getting sushi at one restaurant.
Yeah.
Cook wasn't even paying attention making the sushi. His eyes were, like, glued to this TV. And I was just looking over there like, I hope nothing drops in my food. And he's just not paying attention. But it was insane. I've never seen anything like that. And I'm not a big soccer fan. And, like, you know, people in America, they can, you know, they kind of are into it, but not too much.
Right.
But this was just insane. And I see why it's, like, the world's popular sport, you know, because it was just going, you know, bananas everywhere, you know, inside the clubs, bars, and
oh,
we actually
yeah.
went there to see Nine Inch Nails, and you wouldn't think like the music crowd would be mixed with that, but they were. They were doing the same thing at the Nine Inch Nails concert. Like, had their T-shirts on and everything.
Isn't that a crazy city?
Speaking of Gay Pride Week, it was that in Toronto.
Oh, yeah, all over the world.
Yeah, I didn't know that. You know, we pull up, and the guy at the hotel downtown, he's like, you know, you're here during Gay Pride Week. And I look at my girlfriend, like, do you know about this? You know, I'm like every other guy. You know, as long as they don't bother me, I have no.
Right.
You know, I have no problem with it. It's right. No big deal.
Well, I was saying earlier, I was in Lansing, and I was in this area called Old Town, and they had a big parade,
right?
And it was really fun, and they also had this big wine tasting thing. So we're going into all these different galleries and shops and everything. I know we're not talking about World Cup anymore; we're going off. But every single little gallery that you went into, and a lot of them were owned by gay and lesbian people, and everybody's offering you wine, and you know, would you like red or white? And I'm like, oh my god, I'm you know shopping for a throw, you know, and some pottery, and everybody's just walking around drinking wine. But it was good. I mean, it was a big celebration there. I would have never known it would be that big in Lansing,
right,
East Lansing, but it was huge.
Wow.
And the World Cup news. I'll go on that note, Jay, and give you what happened today. David Beckham scored for England, as perhaps only he can, on a wickedly curving free kick in the 60th minute today, giving England a 1-0 victory over Ecuador. And they were playing in 90-degree weather.
Is that the guy that's married to one of the Spice Girls?
Oh, God, he is. Victoria Beckham?
One of them, yeah.
Victoria Beckham, yeah. She's gorgeous.
Really?
But he is smoking hot.
You know, ETV has like the Fabulous Life of, and they
right.
actually had one on him, and it was just amazing how rich this guy is. And I guess it's through like endorsements and everything, because you never think someone can get that rich playing soccer.
He's a god in England, an absolute god, and he's a great soccer player. Well, it goes on to say that you know, we're halfway through the World Cup. There remains an unsettling feeling about the British, even as they advance to the quarterfinals against Portugal, which defeated the Netherlands today 1-0. Today's attempt to make Wayne Rooney a target player produced meager results. Often he was left stranded as a lone striker all by himself, but England moves on. That's good, coach Sven-Göran Eriksson goes on to say. We're in the quarterfinals and we haven't even performed as well as we can. It will come later. Beckham became the first Englishman to score in 3 World Cups, delivering his first goal for the national team since March 2005. He grew ill and threw up on the field today in the second half before leaving the 87th minute exhausted. At least he scored for him. He can throw up all he wants.
Wow.
You know?
Amazing.
But Beckham goes on to say, we've done our job. We have not played to our potential, but we're going to. So that's where the World Cup stands right now.
Never would have thought it'd be this big.
Oh, I know. And it is unfortunate that the U.S.
didn't do
well.
Is it every 4 years they have it? Every 4 years.
Every 4,
okay. Mm-hmm. That's what I thought.
Remember they had it in Pontiac?
Yes, I do remember
that.
That
was really cool.
But, you know, Toronto, great city, my first time there. I felt like I was overseas, not 4.5 hours from Detroit, you know? Just how different people act over there. It's pretty interesting.
French-speaking. It is different.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very different.
It is. It's a cool city, though, man.
And the money. Mm-hmm. Not to mention the money. You can buy lots of stuff with Canadian money. All right, 313-298-WRIF. I've got a, like I mentioned, different stories. Trump Tower. Trump is to build a tower in Tel Aviv, all kinds of stuff. I'll get to those stories later, as I mentioned. What do you guys think of the whole DeVos-Granholm thing? This is going to be a bloodbath, I think. Not trying to be overly dramatic, and I wasn't really paying attention to every little detail of both of their campaigns. But I have to say, all the reading and all the things that I paid attention to in the last couple of weeks, looking at Michigan's economy and the way that Michigan is and all of the things, you know, whether you're talking about fixing the roads or getting enough money for this or for that, or, you know, the car companies are not doing well, Delphi, basically Michigan's economy or not being able to find a job, everything. You know, I thought, you know, taking a really good look at this, it's not all Jennifer's fault. I mean, she's dealing with a lot of backlash left over from Engler. So as much as she's in power right now, she's the governor, you want to take her and just go, yeah, it's her fault because she's governor. You know, you want to point your fingers at her because she's governor. It is her fault. It's all her fault. I had a conversation with a bunch of people the other day, but you know what? You got to analyze it and go, well, you know, it's not all her fault. She is doing her best. except for that whole motorcycle helmet thing this week. That kind of pissed me off. But other than that, everything's not her fault. I mean, I kind of think that, and I don't know what you guys think, but I think DeVos, coming from Amway, I don't know. He just seems to me like he's going to be more of President Bush. 313-298-WRIF, if you have a suggestion tonight. And why don't we stop yakking it up, Kelly Brown, and we'll go to the phones. Hi, you're on Night Call. What's on your mind?
Hello?
Hi there.
Hi. Well, this is Scott from Westland. Actually, I'm in Jackson, but, you know, that would confuse people because I've been doing this for quite a while. Well, I have two serious things I want to talk about, stories that, you know, I don't think have been getting enough attention in the news. One, I wanted to talk about genetic pollution, the problem with, you know, genetically engineered crops cross-pollinating other plants, and also methyl alcohol or methanol, why that is not a good alternative to gasoline for fueling cars. But I guess I want to just make one quick joke, actually, about the DeVos Granholm thing. I guess, you know, obviously, you know, I'm, you know, very leftist, you know, so I think that Dick DeVos should spend as much time as possible riding a motorcycle without a helmet.
So you kind of think that he would be more of George Bush.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But, oh, definitely. And I think that, yeah, him becoming governor would be a disaster. Well, I guess while we're on the subject, so I have heard that actually under, and this is probably my vote for the biggest euphemism of the campaign so far, as I understand it, that as head of, you know, his company, that he actually was personally responsible for moving some of the manufacturing jobs of his company to China.
Where did I read that this morning? I read that this morning.
Oh yeah, exactly. And so in his ads, you know, he didn't outsource, you know, Michigan manufacturing jobs to another country. He grew the company internationally. That's what his ads say. He grew the company internationally.
Well, you know, but, what? Wasn't that in the news this morning?
It's going to become an issue in the campaign as it heats up. I've heard it from several sources, and I think maybe somebody did ask him that question in a TV interview. But it remains to be seen, and I'm sure that the Granholm, you know, campaign is going to make a big deal out of that. I'd just like to get to this genetic pollution issue. There's a good article about this in the June Current magazine. That's the entertainment magazine, you know, the free one that they have in Ann Arbor. You know, you can pick it up like the Michigan Theater,
right,
or Reporters and stuff. And the Current Cooks column, they have an interview with a person from the Sierra Club, who's, you know, on their committee on genetic engineering. And, I've seen this on television. They interviewed a guy who is genetically engineering corn to produce insulin, for instance. Okay, this is corn, but instead of, say, corn oil, it produces insulin, which, again, the road to hell is, you know, paved with intentions, right? And so they asked the guy, well, okay, what steps have you taken to prevent this genetically engineered corn from cross-pollinating with nearby cornfields? And he says, oh, this corn plot is a mile and a half away from the nearest other cornfield. Now, I don't know if you know anything about botany or anything like that. Okay, according to this article in Current, in Oregon, they did a study to see how far the wind can blow pollen, and they stopped counting at 13 miles.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and if you include, like, birds and insects, and also, if you have a tornado can take the entire corn plant and plop it in the next county, right? You know, so, you know, like, this is supposed to be safe. Now, this is the new wrinkle on this. Now, you'd think that if they have this tool of genetic engineering, they could easily produce a corn plant that, you know, if it's designed to produce insulin, that can't cross-pollinate with other plants. Okay, but this is the new wrinkle that emerges, you know, this is what the Sierra Club is saying, is that actually they're doing this on purpose, that actually they're producing this genetically modified corn, and then when the wind, you know, blows a pollen into other cornfields, and the genetic material gets into another farmer's corn, they actually sue them for patent infringement.
Oh, my gosh.
And apparently they're getting away with this.
Where, Scott, where can we go to find out more about this?
Let's see. They list a couple of websites here. Well, this lists the Mother Jones website, which is motherjones.com. Also, I imagine the Sierra Club must have their own website,
right,
too. So I would try motherjones.com or probably the Sierra Club's website, because this person, basically the one who's making this accusation is the Sierra Club. But what I would think that the solution is we have got to criminalize this. We have to make genetic pollution a crime. You have to define it legally, and you also have to, you know, you have the same penalties that you have, you know, for, you know, we have for chemical pollution. Because,
right.
And also, even without the new laws, I would say offhand as, you know, a legal scholar that this is also a violation of the Sherman Antitrust Act, that this is this, you know, that they're basically trying to create a monopoly. And so I think already what they're trying to do may be in violation of trust laws, you know, that, you know, they're, you know, and just the idea that they're suing people over this is just ridiculous. And but I guess the other thing I just wanted to get to was also methyl alcohol. And ironically, I heard this on NPR maybe a month or two ago. They had some professor who was talking about how he really thinks that instead of gasoline, we should be running cars on methanol.
Isn't that the Willie Nelson creation, or am I way off base here?
Willie Nelson?
The Willie Nelson has created his own gasoline?
No, I don't know. I wouldn't think so. I imagine if Willie Nelson would be talking about ethanol.
Ethanol, okay.
Yeah, ethanol.
Yeah, okay, different thing, sorry.
Okay, well, there's ethanol, which is what people drink and stuff like that, you know, and most people know what that is, and it's made from, you know, corn. Methanol is called wood alcohol because, you know, it can be made from a variety of things. And see, this is what's behind this, actually, is this the coal industry. That for years, traditionally wood alcohol is made from wood, and it's very toxic and it's very corrosive. Well, just for example, if you look at windshield wiper fluid, is a mild solution of methyl alcohol.
Okay, okay.
A whiff of that, you know, you'd have some idea what it is. It can cause blindness, and I said it's very corrosive. Now, the thing is, there, for a long time, there have been a lot of existing processes that allow you to make it from coal. And so that's the only good argument for running your car on methanol, is that we have like a 500-year supply of coal, and if somehow we could tap into that, you know, that would be a good thing. However, really, the because of its toxic and corrosive nature, like if Saddam Hussein was like, you know, or not Saddam Hussein, but I guess Osama bin Laden was holding a gun to your head and gave you a devil's choice of drinking a shot glass full of unleaded gasoline and a shot glass of wood alcohol, you know, you should drink the gasoline.
Oh, geez. I mean,
that's how poisonous it is. It's more poisonous than gasoline. And because of its corrosive nature, you basically, the obstacles to creating like an infrastructure to distribute methanol, large amounts of methanol on a widespread basis, are as onerous as the one for hydrogen. And see, the good thing about hydrogen is it's clean and it's non-toxic, you know, but here we would have to create this huge infrastructure. Generally speaking, a tanker truck that carries gasoline can't carry methanol because it's corrosive. Or if you tried to run your car on anything close to 100% methanol, a standard gasoline car, you'd wreck it. You know, it's really nasty stuff. So, and some people in the auto industry have been talking about this for years. And as I said, what's behind it is the coal industry. It's mm-hmm. sort of coal and sheep's clothing. But I just want to, you know, draw people's attention to that if you're looking for an alternative to gasoline, I'm all for E85 and ethanol and stuff like that. But methyl alcohol or wood alcohol, that's a really bad idea.
All right, well, Scott, you know what? We have to take a break, but thank you for bringing all this to our attention.
Right. Okay, thanks a lot.
All right, thanks for calling, Scott from Westland. This is Night Call. I'm Kelly Brown, and for Peter Worvey tonight, we have Chris from Dearborn Heights. Chris, you got to hang in there. We're going to talk about Dick DeVos with you. We have a couple of things to take care of, and we'll be right back with Night Call.
Every Tuesday, get double shots of the best riff rock. The way you want it.
See, I told you there was a rational explanation.
Two for Tuesday on 101 WRIF. Everything that rocks.
This is WRIF.com.
still waters to the depths of the dead. What did you expect to find? Was it something you left behind? Don't you remember anything I said when I said, jump away, keep me to myself, jump away.
Night Call is back on 101 WRIF Detroit. Here's your host, Peter Werby.
All right, you guys. Peter's on vacation this week. My name is Kelly Brown, 101 WRIF Detroit. Hi there. This is Night Call, 313-298-WRIF. If you have comments, Kelly at WRIF.com. Thanks for hanging out with us tonight. The topic tonight has seemed to turn towards Granholm and DeVos. And I wanted to mention to you guys quickly, instead of interviews at 1 a.m. this morning, as Peter usually does interviews, we will have a live Breaking Benjamin concert at 1 a.m. That's coming up in about 1 hour from now. Again, this is Night Call, and I'm Kelly Brown in for Peter this week, 313-298-WRIF. We're going to go to Chris in Dearborn Heights, who has been waiting quite a while. Hi, Chris. What's up?
How you doing, Kelly?
Good. You?
Oh, excellent.
What's on your mind?
Well, honestly, I really think with this DeVos and Granholm thing, I really truly believe that, well, aside from your listeners, which most Republicans have gone to bed by now.
You got a point there.
But honestly, I think the state is better run by Republicans and governed, governed by Republicans and actually managed by Democrats.
Explain.
Well, you look at the... Oh, crap. He put me on the spot here.
You must explain.
Oh, of course. Well, like your last caller just went on and on. I'm trying to think. And, oh, my God.
Yeah, I got to get better at interrupting people after about 5 minutes.
Oh, Mr. Gosh, damn it. Well, anyways, yeah, thanks for deflating my bubble there.
You're not talking about DeVos still?
Well, I truly believe that it's better to have a Republican in office than it is to have...
For what particular reason? For what? For the first reason off the top of your head, why do you think that?
Well, for the simple fact that you have to work in order to claim benefits. And, oh, man, Kelly, you're just killing me right now.
No, we'll work it through. It's all right. You'd much rather see DeVos running Michigan?
Absolutely.
Because of his work ethic?
Well, that and most people, well, Kelly, where are you at? Work.
Right.
What time is it?
Yeah.
Well, you got to pay your dues, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Oh, God. We're not even going to go there. Well, why do you think... See, I'm not getting to the point. I'm asking you to explain yourself. DeVos, you seem to think that he should be the governor because of his work ethic. And then Jennifer Granholm should not hold the office because why? Just give me one reason.
Well, for the simple fact that there is no free ride.
And you're saying that she's not a hard worker?
No, she's paying for non-hard worker's way.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Carl Levin. Damn it, it's coming out now.
Yeah, that's okay. You're all right. You're still on.
Yeah, I'm angry now. Anyways, it's better to choke the state, so to speak, from the top down and let everyone deal with it. For example, like Kilpatrick, Kwame Kilpatrick, once they actually, Granholm was in, they choked him down to nothing, basically income-wise for the city of Detroit, and things have gone down from here. We need a Republican to run the state to bring money in instead of trying to,
Well, you know, Chris, I'm going to put you on hold for a minute. Just hold your thought. Hold your thought, and we'll come back to you in just a couple of minutes. Because I'm not quite sure what you're getting at, but I think I understand. But I'm just hold your thought, and we'll put you on hold. We're going to take another caller. Hold on, okay? All right. This is Night Call, and I'm Kelly Brown in for Peter Werby. Let's go to Al in Inkster, who has also been waiting quite a while. Hi, Al. Thanks for holding on. What's on your mind?
How you doing, Kelly?
Good. Thank you.
I'm not sure I can match the prior caller's eloquence.
Well, I could tell that he was frustrated, but I wasn't quite sure where he was going. So, you know, and I know that, like I said, he is frustrated and he couldn't quite get out what he wanted to say, but I was in turn getting a little frustrated as well. So, what's your angle on the whole DeVos thing?
I'll tell you where I'm going. The first name with Mr. DeVos says it all. You know?
And now, what do you know about Dick DeVos?
I know his wife used to be head of the Michigan Republican Party, and when she was head of the Michigan Republican Party 2 years back, she made a public speech at the Detroit Economic Club, where she said, Michigan workers just have to face the fact that they are way overpaid. Now, being told that I'm way overpaid at 10-something an hour by a woman who's a multi-millionaire and possibly a billionaire is kind of galling.
Oh, that's infuriating.
You know, 'cause when I go into my employer, as much as I may dislike the employer, I give the employer, you know, 8 to 10 hours good, hard labor.
Right.
And in return, I expect benefits and a living wage, and I seldom receive it. And the only party that has ever really worked to guarantee working people, the only party that's been in power, is the Democratic Party. The Republican Party, you know, when I was a kid and my dad was going to vote for the first time as a man of 39, you know, he once said, you know, whenever I hear a rich man tell me he's made the payroll, it doesn't impress me.
Hmm.
I work 40 hours a week. I come home. I give my kids allowance. I've just made the payroll. And a rich man tells me he's going to put money in my pocket, I do one thing. I keep a tight grip on my wallet.
Well, you know, I wish I would have heard that speech by his wife because, you know, the fact that she says Michigan people are being paid too much. I mean, recently...
This is a woman whose husband made his money off of what amounts to a con known as the Ponzi scheme.
Are you talking about Amway?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they're just, you know, it just seems like they're just... very glassy-eyed, you know, and I had a friend of mine who I've known for a real long time. He just said that he wanted to catch up with me. I miss you. I can't wait to see you. I haven't seen this guy in 5 years, and he shows up at my door with an Amway book.
Yeah.
You know, and it just, there's just something that's very, very odd, but it's got me going on this whole DeVos thing. And did you see in the paper, we were talking earlier about how they're talking about how he sent jobs to China. Now, later in the article...
They didn't say he did, because what they did was, it was very carefully worded.
Right, right.
The article in the Detroit News, whose motto seems to be, if it happened in Detroit, it's news to us. They said nobody can actually pin who made the decision.
Right.
It's just all of us.
Right, that was written at the end of the article.
Yeah, that was the co-founder of Amway's son, Van Andel, who was, I guess, throwing himself on a hand grenade for his buddy.
Right. Well, yeah, it did. I have to. Yeah. And I should have finished that. But it did say that they weren't sure that he was the one that did it. But he, you know, they're all talking about how DeVos is all for jobs. DeVos is all for jobs. But you know what the interesting thing is? And I just said earlier that Jennifer Granholm is starting her campaign. And it should be interesting to see her go full force against him. Of course, we've seen the DeVos commercials recently. And, you know, the interesting thing, Al, is that, you know, you get the impression that he's fighting for people and fighting for the whole unemployment thing and trying to get people's jobs, because they show these women and men on there. Yes, I lost my job. I was replaced. My job was discontinued. But he doesn't ever say anything in there, does he?
Yes, and the whole thing is, you know, he released this thing, you know, where he said, you know, I've got an economic plan for Michigan to rebuild the state. But he's not, you know, when he released, you know, the press release saying, I've got an economic plan, he said, I can't release the actual plan until after I'm elected. Which sort of harkens back to Nixon's old thing, you know, well, I've got a plan for peace in Vietnam, but it won't happen until after I'm elected.
Right.
You know, that's going back to 68, which is probably too far for most people's memories.
Well, you know what? It's definitely, like I said, I guess bloodbath was a little extreme, but it's going to be interesting. It's definitely going to be interesting. Al from Inkster, thanks for joining us tonight on Night Call.
Thank you, Kelly.
All right. All right. Have a good night. Definitely going to go to Nick in Ann Arbor, who's been waiting for a while. Hey, Nick, what's on your mind? Thanks for waiting.
Well, hey, thanks, Kelly. I really appreciate it. Basically, I just want to comment real quick on, DeVos's economic plan that he just released. The big thing there is, you know, people are, you know, kind of complaining about how it's sort of vague and, you know, it doesn't really state much. And, you know, the last caller just mentioned the whole Nixon thing for peace in Vietnam and whatnot. I don't think that's about the same thing as what's going on here. You got to understand that he needs to, you know, be in office in order to be privy to a lot of the information he needs in order to make, like, a firm economic, you know, decision and plan for the state.
Right.
So, I mean, it kind of makes me feel bad that he's getting ripped on for that. Because, I mean, overall, I mean, if you look at Amway, he took over when it was probably only doing about, you know, $1 to $2 billion a year, which is, you know, nothing to scoff at.
Well, yeah, and you know what, too, and I guess I didn't give him credit as a businessman. You know, Amway is the product, and then he is the businessman. It's kind of two separate things. You know, he came in to run the company and obviously made it very successful.
Yeah. And, see, the thing about him making it successful is also, like, his goal to grow it internationally.
Right.
Now it's probably about a $7 billion a year sort of thing, company, I guess is the best way to put it.
Still. Absolutely. Well, it's amazing.
I know it is. Certainly is.
Who's buying this stuff?
Well, you know, it's a lot of distribution in China. You know, the next huge economic economy in the world after the United States probably coming up pretty soon here. And the thing is like, you know, everyone's ripping on him for, you know, oh, he moved jobs to China and yada, yada, yada.
But well, that wasn't confirmed.
Well, you know, even if it wasn't confirmed, it wasn't that he moved jobs there. He expanded jobs there. And, you know, here's the thing. In order to sell products in China, they have to be made in China. It's one of the government regulations over there, which I don't think a lot of people know about. And that's the problem. It's just, you know, being able to having people, you know, understand that and, you know, getting the information out there. So I'd like to put that out there.
Right. Well, thank you.
Well, you're very welcome.
All right.
Do you mind if I say a few things more?
No.
I know you've had some pretty long callers on.
Yeah. All right. All right. Quickly.
Well, you know, the other thing is, you know, Jennifer Granholm saying that, you know, she's, you know, inherited a lot of problems from Engler. You know, the problem with that is, you know, I will give her, you know, maybe the first 2 years of her gubernatorial, you know, term as being, you know, maybe years of, you know, rebuilding what Engler might have messed up or, you know, flubbed up, considering the economy was booming at the time he was in office. But at the same time, you got to understand that, you know, she's had 4 years to do it, and right now she's kind of campaigning, sort of like Kwame Kilpatrick did, as if she has, you know, not been in office for 4 years. It's like, I'd really like to see some, you know, some sort of, I don't know, maybe just tell me what she's done. I mean, with the motorcycle helmet thing, that thing, and, you know, me being a student here at the University of Michigan, she's, you know, taking money from our schools, you know, Grand Valley, a bunch of other schools all across the state. she took away meat money for the, you know, meat test that all the students have to go through, which is, you know, $2,500 dispersed over 2 years, which can really make or break, you know, someone, you know, maybe of lesser income being able to go to community college and, you know, moving up into the workforce into a more knowledge-based job, which is what our economy is turning towards. So.
Right. Well, not only that, too, but the arts were affected as well this year, weren't they?
Yes, they were.
Yeah. Yeah, that's always unfortunate. But
I'm not an art lover, so that really didn't affect me as much. But, you know, that's horrible to say.
You have to love art, Nick. You live in Ann Arbor, for crying out loud.
Well, you know, being a Republican, I'm not very popular out here.
Oh, boy. Well, yeah, that I could see that.
Sorry, I said the dirty R word.
Nick in Ann Arbor, thank you so much for waiting so long. Thanks for joining us on Night Call tonight.
Thanks, Kelly. Bye.
All right, this is Night Call, and I'm Kelly Brown. Kind of an unfamiliar voice for you guys who are used to Peter Werby. Peter is on vacation this week. Thanks for holding on, if you are, and thanks for being patient. WRIF.com, Kelly at WRIF.com if you have comments. 313-298-WRIF. Let's go to Daryl in Clinton Township, see what's on his mind. Hi, Daryl. Thanks for holding on. This is Night Call. What's on your mind?
Hey, can you take me after the break? I'm begging you.
Well, we don't have to break just yet. Do you want to hold on for another minute?
Just next, yeah, thanks.
Okay, hold on.
All right, thanks.
101 WRIF. All right, let's go to Joe in Canton. Hey, Joe, what's up?
Hi, Kelly, how you doing?
Good, you?
I'm doing great.
What's on your mind?
I wanted to know you fill in quite admirably for Peter Werby.
Well, I need to brush up on my environmental stuff, but, you know, other than that, I can handle it.
Well, I'm wanted to call in because I heard you talking about DeVos and Granholm.
Right.
Well, DeVos, I'm so sick and tired because people are being brainwashed to him. He's buying the campaign. He's buying, the time share on the commercials.
That's kind of don't most people know that?
They supposedly, quote unquote, with quotes, voted for George Bush. They are blinded in Michigan, obviously.
Do you think Michigan people are blinded, or they're just so desperate for somebody to take charge?
They were desperate for somebody to take charge, but they're just like cowering. I mean, I know Bush's election, I know, hard to change the subject back, but Granholm has been stifled because of the Bush economy. I mean, you're talking about the arts of that.
Right.
Michigan has gotten, you know, sort of like, how do you say it, screwed out of money.
Right.
You know, the war campaign, all the funding for schools and that are taken out of Michigan and out of other states.
Now, is this because productivity in the schools have gone down? Now, doesn't it have that? Oh, no, wait a minute. No, it's not productivity. It is attendance. Now, how many people now live in the city of Detroit? And that has a lot to do with how much money the schools get, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Attendance has a major factor. But the big word is charter schools.
Hmm.
When those started up, that's another Republican. Like, was it Dave Bing campaigning for it in Michigan?
Right.
You begin to wonder, like, whose pocket is he in?
Don't you wish you just knew? Can't we just cut to the chase and know it all? You know, we know where Dick DeVos is going and know what Jennifer Granholm's intentions are, but we don't know. That's what drives us crazy.
How many pages was DeVos's thing he put out, like 56 pages booklet?
Yeah.
Out of the economy, who's going to pay for that? You know, tax. The rich aren't going to be taxed. Tax breaks for the rich again. Just like Bush, it cuts the economy. You know, economy doing great. Another lie.
Well, you know, it's not like I'm just ready to just jump on the DeVos, you know, get him bandwagon. But it just seems like, what I do know of him, there's just something real shady and just something so George Bush about him.
Kelly?
Yeah.
He's more of a conservative than George Bush.
Mm-hmm.
You know how this economy is going and how people are turning against Bush. He ran on all lies, Bush. As you can tell, I'm a complete Democrat. And the church, the people across, I live in Canton, but one side of the street in Canton, they go to Northridge Church. Everybody's house had a George Bush Cheney sign.
Mm.
they're preaching from the pulpit from that church, telling you who to vote for.
These people have jobs. These people have health insurance.
I have no idea, because I know it sounds really childish, but I won't speak to them.
Mm.
Because I am such a non-conservative. I have stickers on my car. Clinton lied, but nobody died. Everybody, the sex act was by him, but he did lie. I agree. But the other sign that says Bush lied, thousands have died.
Well, DeVos...
I'm sorry to interrupt you. In other words, Jennifer Granholm, I mean, I heard the last caller. I know she hasn't done much, but look at, she had a she had 12 years of Engler. Now, I hate to go back, but remember our road system right before he got out of office?
Right, exactly, and that's what I mentioned earlier.
He had $15 million put aside, and all of a sudden, ooh, budgeting. Mm-hmm. I can't find, I found $13 million all of a sudden. But still, I mean, he was a crook. But no one wants to say that because all the conservatives backed him. And he had DeVos had a big fundraiser.
I think some people just think it's easier to turn a blind eye than to actually research and find out exactly what's going on.
Was the tell story deaf, dumb, and blind?
Mm.
See no evil, speak no evil, hear no evil?
Well, people do your research before you vote because this is definitely going to be an important election. Absolutely. I mean... You know, it's just, you know, even if you maybe don't even watch the commercials, just do your own research because, you know, you really can't tell a whole lot by that anyway, you know?
Every time DeVos comes on a commercial, I either change the channel or mute it. I don't want to see him. I don't want to see him.
Wow.
Or hear him. Okay.
All right. Well, listen, Joe, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts tonight on Night Call. I appreciate it. Have a good night.
You too, Kelly. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. All right. Let's see. My name is Kelly Brown. I'm in for Peter Werby tonight. Thanks for hanging out, having some fun. Some very interesting discussions. This election between DeVos and Granholm should be very interesting. And, you know, like I said, do your research before you vote. Don't just go in there and vote on who has the best commercial, because that's the worst thing you could do. All right, let's go to Matt in Westland. Hey, Matt, thanks for calling Night Call. What's on your mind?
Oh, nothing much. So what do you think of the whole Kevorkian thing?
He was denied again, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And he is real sick, isn't he?
Yeah, I think he caused it himself, though, by not eating and stuff.
Has he been fasting or just,
He's been trying to get out by not eating.
Oh, boy. Hasn't he tried this before?
Yeah.
So what do you think?
I still don't see what crime he committed, because he didn't kill anyone. They did it themselves.
Oh, so you're like, pro-assisted suicide and pro-Kevorkian?
I guess. It's just, you know, I don't consider that a crime. If someone wants to end their life, let them. If they want to pay someone to do it, let them.
Well, yeah, I guess that's where Kevorkian comes in, and if they want to do it themselves, then they should do it themselves and not bring him in on it, because that's why he's in jail. I mean, I'm not saying I agree or disagree, but that's his part in it, and that's why he's in jail. So,
yeah.
I mean, I understand what you're saying, but, you know, it's illegal.
And what about the stupidity of people leaving dead bodies in funeral homes for over a year?
Oh, well, geez. We're not even going to go there tonight. That's just too big of a topic. I know. I read that article as well. All right, Matt in Westland, thanks for calling Night Call.
Mm-hmm.
All right, this is Night Call. I'm Kelly Brown in for Peter Werby tonight. He is on vacation, a well-deserved. He's off saving the world because he does that very, very well. All right, let's go to Susie in Dearborn Heights before the break, find out what's on her mind. All right, Susie, what's going on?
Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to say that DeVos made his money off of the little people, like most Republicans do. And if he becomes the governor, it's going to be the same thing. You know, he's going to be making his money off of us little people, and we're going to get nothing out of it, and he's going to get richer. You know, Granholm came into a big mess when she came into office.
Right, right. And that's what I found, like, through my, you know, unfortunately, I have not been following her career to a T the last couple of years. But, you know, as I was really researching it this weekend, you know, it's not all her fault. You know, she's doing what she can. I mean, I'm not saying I don't even, I don't know. I just think that, you know, when you're looking at Jennifer Granholm, I mean, I think a lot of people, Susie, are blaming her because she is in office. They're blaming her. Oh, the roads aren't fixed, or there's no health care, everybody's losing their jobs, or the economy's terrible. But, you know, you got to just realize that a lot of it is, you know, is it George Bush? Is it just the way our economy's going? You know,
do you remember the unemployment debacle when she first came into office?
Yes.
Engler shut the unemployment offices all the day after Election Day. The day after Election Day. I was on unemployment at the time, and I remember you couldn't get through on this special line that they had. I spent 10 hours on the phone on hold.
And why did he do that? I can't remember.
Because he was going out of office. He couldn't get reelected anyway. So if he didn't care what the next person was going to get, what mess they were going to get. So she came into office and, you know, obviously heard about it immediately, opened all of the offices back up, cleaned up the mess. That's something that she did.
And that's how she started her term.
Yes, and there's a whole lot of people who were hurting because of that unemployment thing who should remember that when it comes time to vote. Also.
Well, yeah. If that's the only money you're counting on, you're going to remember that kind of thing.
Also, Engler was responsible for the county health insurance being discontinued, which I was also on. And because he took the money all away from the county to give to poor people for health insurance, everybody was taken off of it. Everybody. I'm not talking about welfare now. I'm talking about Wayne County health insurance plan. Gone. And it hasn't been reinstated because he left the place in such a mess that she hasn't been able to reinstate it.
She can only do so much, huh?
Yeah. And DeVos, you know, he thinks he's trying to tell people, well, I'm going to come in and straighten this all out. Well, what makes him think he's going to be able to straighten it all out?
Right.
You know, Granholm's trying, and she can only work with what she's been left. First, she's got to fix all the screw-ups that Engler did before she can start something going that's going to benefit everybody. And he's, you know, he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Well, we'll just wait and see what happens, right, Suze?
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for calling, Susie from Dearborn Heights. And this is Night Call. I'm Kelly Brown in for Peter Werby tonight. Thanks for hanging on. All of you guys that are still on hold, please hang tough. We got a couple of things to take care of. We'll be back with more Night Call.
You're listening to WRIF.com.
We're back with more Night Call on 101 WRIF Detroit. Here's Peter Werby.
Peter is on vacation this week. I'm Kelly Brown. Hi there. This is Night Call. 313-298-WRIF. Peter normally has interviews at 1 a.m., but tonight we will have a special Breaking Benjamin concert. Breaking Benjamin live in concert at 1 a.m., about a half hour away. This is Night Call. If you have comments, Kelly at WRIF.com. We seem to be talking about Jennifer Granholm and Dick DeVos. That is definitely heating up, that whole campaign, and a lot of people have very strong opinions. A lot of people seem to be sympathizing with Jennifer Granholm about how she is trying to clean up the Michigan mess and how DeVos is a little bit shady. We're still not sure. He is kind of new into the race, so a lot of people still aren't sure, you know, what to make of this guy anyway. So, well, let's go to the phones. 313-298-WRIF. Not everybody wants to talk about DeVos and Granholm. Hi there, Daryl in Clinton Township. What's on your mind? Thanks for calling Night Call. Daryl? Ooh, he held on for 10 minutes and then hung up. All right, well, let's go to Holly. Actually, Angie, who is in Holly, holding on. Hi there, Angie. What's on your mind? Thanks for calling Night Call.
Hi. Well, it's just it is a really hard decision. I think if we have to decide between Bush and Cheney, Bush and who do we run up against? What's his name? Kerry. Bush got voted out in Michigan for sure, but, I've researched these jobs getting switched around. My parents' jobs have been moved after 15 years of working there because China will work for 19 cents an hour and stuff. And that really doesn't have a lot to do with our government, our state of Michigan.
Right, state of Michigan.
But the people in the state of Michigan can try to buy American because I tell you what, I had to Christmas shop for 6 months to try to buy American. Six stores for one comforter.
Wow.
In the USA. And Target stores, I've only found three items made in the USA so far, and that was prescription medication that has to be made here. A USA flag, thank goodness it was made here.
Well, you know what? That's a really good recommendation because some people are just desperate and frustrated and wonder what they can do as an individual to help out Michigan. And that's a really good recommendation to just start buying American.
And look into the cars you're buying. Are you buying, Ford's going to Canada, Mexico, and, who knows what's going on with GM exactly at the moment. And Chrysler's doing just great because they merged with another country. So it's, we have to think if it cost us a little more to live, hey, our parents used to make this kind of money. We're not going to. And I did have one thing about Jennifer Granholm because I've been watching the commercials and Dick DeVos is our economy is cruddy in Michigan. And I don't believe it all started with Jennifer Granholm
right. Because
Clinton opened up China's port. And then Bush just sold off the Iraqi ports or whatever. So, I'm probably the only person in the whole United States that sent President Bush the risk game and told him to play it with his advisors and see what he comes up with. And I didn't tell him how to play the game or anything like that, but he was quite, sarcastic. I felt that he got that package because they have to check packages for bombs and stuff. And I put my name, address, all this, and sign all over it, But he got the game for Christmas with a Chinese Christmas card bought at Farmer Jack's. And it says, God bless you. I didn't know China believed in God. So it's just hard to... everyone says, well, let's go to Walmart and save that extra few dollars. Well, that's the few dollars you're giving to China. And when I called Jennifer Granholm and I had written her, she called my home phone when she first got into office. I've been trying to get the garbage from Canada to stop coming over here to Michigan and all into the United States. and or at least check for nuclear waste or something.
Oh, well, boy, that is a whole nother topic because they kind of went through a couple of those trucks probably about a year ago, and what they found was absolutely unbelievable. Well, what did she respond?
Well, Jennifer Granholm called my answer machine at home, and she said she would have the she would now have the waste because it's in our grandfather clause of our Constitution version that we can't bring anything over here that's going to harm us or hurt human beings in any way. That's in our Constitution of our grandfather clause.
Well, saying that and doing it are two different things when it comes to that situation.
And I wrote President Bush and gave him 30,000 signatures, and he never wrote me back once. So that's President Bush for you. But with Jennifer Granholm, she called and said, well, I will have this waste checked for nuclear waste and stuff like that. But we are taking their feces and all their stuff over here, and they're pipelining it behind the airports in Detroit, as far as I know, or somewhere else.
Mm.
But, I mean, you saw it on the news that a big thing from Canada, a truckload of poop falls out on the freeway. They had it cleaned up quick as they could. But, you know, why should Michigan, who has the Great Lakes, which might be the water in the end, why should we be taking everybody's garbage? We should be sending our garbage up there.
Yeah, that was a really bad decision. I never really understood that. And whose poop was it anyway?
It was Canada's. It was Canada's poop. And it's just, you know, I mean, I really do kind of go in between Jennifer and Dick DeVos, because my friend had a comment and said, well, she went in and redecorated the whole governor's office. Well, women like things to look nice, and women like things to be nice. Well, maybe she made a missed call on that because she didn't realize how cruddy everybody was going to go buy everything from China, buy Walmart cards for Christmas, buy everything from every other country that they can except the U.S.
Hmm.
So,
well, I don't know. I don't know if she just went in and decided to spend thousands of dollars on redecorating, or she just wanted to make it, you know, give it her own little personality a little bit. But that, you know, that's a girl thing. And then,
and then
that's a whole other topic, because then that's like, well, then why don't we get a man in there? All right. Well, listen, Angie, we got to get to another phone call, but thanks so much for your comments. And
thanks, Kelly. I've only called one other time to Peter Werby, and I said, write your senators, write your presidents, write people on what you feel, and that's all you can do, and then go with what you feel. If you feel that, you know, you need to buy a foreign car, buy the foreign car. If you feel more that you're a United States citizen, then maybe you should buy U.S. And my grandparents always said buy U.S., and I always thought, And now I'm really realizing, hey, my parents' jobs are going to China and Mexico.
Right.
Come on.
You don't realize it until it affects you. All right, well, thanks, Angie. Have a good night. Angie from Holly, thanks for calling Night Call. Let's go to Diane, has been waiting from Grand Rapids. Diane, thank you so much for hanging on. How are you tonight?
Well, fine. I just wanted to mention that if you're talking about Jennifer Granholm not being able to get things done, it's because she's working with a Republican legislature that blocks her at every turn.
Well, no, I didn't say she wasn't getting things done. I just said that a lot of people might be thinking that.
Well, that's
because she's in office, you know, just
it seems that way.
Easy to blame.
Yeah, well, let's blame the legislature, which is Republican, lots of them. And also, if you get a Republican governor in there and a Republican legislature, you're going to have the same thing we have in the government in the federal government. And you're going to get a lot of things done. Unfortunately, they're not going to be things that any of us want done. They're not going to be saving our beautiful Michigan environment, because Engler and the Republicans and DeVos don't want to save this environment. They want to chew it up for business. and it's going to be, that's what's going to happen.
That's very frustrating. Like, we need any more strip malls, you know?
Well, no, it's strip mining. It's not strip malls. It's mining the sands and the sand dunes. It, that's what they're going to do. It's Engler gutted the DNR, the Department of Environmental Quality, DEQ, they call it now. And that's that. The Republican agenda is to take the best thing we have here in Michigan and just give it to business.
Well, I don't think that should happen. Michigan is beautiful. It should be unscathed. All right. Well, Diane from Grand Rapids, thank you so much for holding on so long. Thanks for calling Night Call. All right, let's see. We can take a few more phone calls tonight. Thank you, everybody, for hanging on. My name is Kelly Brown, sitting in for Peter, who is on vacation tonight. And this is Night Call. Let's go to Paul, who's been waiting, calling from Brighton. Hi, Paul. What's on your mind? Thanks for calling Night Call.
Hi. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. You know, first of all, kind of talking, you know, like I know what I actually know what I'm talking about. Bush never was even put into office. Well, he was put into office, but he never won the election. We have more people trying to fill their pocket with money. You can look at all the, everybody from everywhere has been trying to make, what's that guy's name? One of the senators. He was Cunningham or, no, completely wrong. He put all kinds of money. So we got corruption all the way down the line. And plus, we have a person that's walking around in Brighton with a petition with that garbage.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I've actually put my name on that. My brother did. Yeah. So there's people walking around trying to petition against that. The Canadians are bringing their garbage over here. So.
Well, it's good that people are being proactive because it's better than just bitching about it and not doing anything about it. At least you could add your signature or walk around and try to collect some, you know?
Oh, yeah.
That's wonderful.
You know what's even worse, though? Well, one part of it, the water. We've got to worry about our fresh water. Sure, we take precautions to make sure that nothing leaks or nothing like that, but why are we taking other people's garbage? They have mountains of rock, which they could definitely, they should be taking our stuff, and they should be doing it over there. Because as soon as the fresh water here is, if it gets tampered with, remember, it ain't gonna, no money is going to save you after the water is gone.
Right, there's no turning back. And you know what? This area has some of the best drinking water there is.
Right down from the street from me, the biggest aqueduct for what do they call it? Artesian well. Is right down the street from us.
Mm-hmm.
And if they mess up the water, which Thermofill, thanks to their, you know, government and their high power, no one's worrying about the water. No one's, yeah, you're, once water's gone, we're done.
Well, let's just hope it doesn't get to that. Yeah, well, good for you for signing the signature. Get more people to sign those petitions. And, you know, I'm glad that that just didn't fizzle out, because that's been a while since that's been in the news about the garbage from Canada coming over here.
Well,
you know, and they have, it's just not been talked about.
No, yeah, no one seems to be worried about it, but until it really becomes a problem, then it's all like, oh, yeah, oh, my gosh, what happened? Well, you let it happen.
Hey, well, when we have poop on the expressway, there's a serious problem.
Well, and well, poop is one thing, but, you know, we should have, you should be taking a dump someplace in at least the house. But you know what? That's people used to do before ever anything like that was around. So.
Right. Well, Paul from Brighton, thank you so much for calling Night Call.
Well, there's more to it, too. You know, the war, there's everything. You know, we went into something that was never supposed to ever happen. We've been waiting for something to happen. You know, you put DeVos, hey, talks about jobs. Everybody's going to be interested in a job. You can't turn around. No one's going to not listen to him when he says
you're job. Right. That's exactly what I was talking about earlier. He's just, he's talking to the people in the commercial, the woman that says my job was eliminated, you know, and a lot of people in Michigan, can't even find a job right now that's $10 an hour. Most of them are general laborer, are $8 an hour, you know.
That's normal. That's, you know, and what we have to worry about right now is, No, we don't get paid. That we get paid because we know what we're doing. You know, we do the blueprints. We do this. That's why we get paid that kind of money. It didn't just happen. We make the world roll. And as soon as you take those jobs away, which they didn't, Granholm had nothing really to do with it. It had to do with the companies are not making any money. And they're turning around, letting them go for lesser jobs. All of our cars right now, all the parts already come from China, which is a very scary thing. You know, made in America is something, but it's turning to be like, oh, as long as it came from China, and they want to put their, you know, only buy Chinese, well then, you know, they wanted to be separate from us in the first place.
God, is anything really made in America other than Faygo and better made potato chips?
Unless you actually put it together, I guess you can't call it a made in America no more.
Yeah. All right, Paul in Brighton, we have a couple more phone calls we have to take care of. Thanks for calling Night Call.
Yeah.
All right, bye.
Have a good day.
You too. All right, 313-298-WRIF. Let's go to Josh, who is waiting. Calling from Detroit. Hey, Josh, what's on your mind? Thanks. Thanks for calling Night Call. What's up?
Hi, I was just wanted to just ask one question to everybody that blames President Bush. And I'm not sure I support President Bush or Jennifer Granholm, but I just say, if we're going to blame President Bush about everything that's happening wrong in this country, why don't we blame Jennifer Granholm about the fact that we're the worst economy in the country and everything else that's going on in Michigan?
Yeah, there's so many things that point to all these different problems, and everybody wants to blame somebody. But if you really analyze the whole situation,
right,
you're right.
It's not one person. I agree.
Right.
You know, it's not, but I just think it's funny how everybody always, but everything that goes wrong, no matter, you know, whether President Bush has anything to do with it or not, it gets blamed on President Bush when something in Michigan happens, there really isn't anything said about Jennifer Granholm about it, you know? And I don't really support either one of them, to be honest with you. I think they're both not doing a very good job. So I just want to bring up that point.
Well, it is always nice to have somebody to blame, though, you know?
Right.
I gotcha. I totally understand where you're coming from, Josh. Thank you so much for calling.
Right. Thank you.
All right, Josh from Detroit, let's go to, let's see what time is it. Yeah, we could take a couple more phone calls. Let's go to Kathy, who is on the line from Southgate. Hi there, Kathy. Thanks for calling Night Call. What's on your mind?
Well, I was just going to say, to get rid of the two-headed snake at the national level, we have to educate ourselves to realize that as long as the Electoral College is in existence, we are going to have either Republican or Democrat, and there'll be no possibility of anybody of real intelligence that hasn't been corrupted getting in office and changing from the top on down. We need to get away from the corruption that exists in both parties. We need to educate our children to not give up, vote, and change that, amend the Constitution to get rid of the Electoral College.
Right. Stand up for what you believe in. I mean, just like these people that were, like Paul from Brighton, who was talking about, you know, getting out there and signing petitions and having a voice and speaking up for what you believe in and taking part and buying American and all these things, you know. Don't just bitch about it. Try to do something about it, you know.
Well, your comment about better-made potato chips and Faygo makes it very real that the New World Order is probably upon us. And young people today say, so what that we owe China billions of dollars? What does it matter? They don't know that it does matter. And one force running the world is just not a good idea.
No. Well, if those kids had to pay back China, they would understand, you know, but they don't have to. It's like, kind of like they're twice removed because they don't understand what's going on because they're not actually directly involved.
Well, their parents don't get it either.
Right. You know? So you're right. They have to educate. You're absolutely right, Kathy.
Thank you for taking the call.
All right, thanks for calling Night Call. My name is Kelly Brown. I'm in for Peter Worre tonight. Thank you for all of your phone calls. Thanks for being patient. Thanks for holding on. I think we could take one or two more calls before the break. Let's go to Andrew in Ann Arbor. Hi, Andrew. You're on Night Call. Thanks for calling.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What's on your mind?
Well, I have two things. You guys were talking earlier about people in Michigan not having jobs that are low-paying jobs. I work for Dish Network right now. We are screaming for people to come work for us. It is way more than $10 an hour. I work 20-hour days because we are so far behind and so understaffed. If you want a job, they need to come apply. There's hiring fairs constantly.
Wow.
I mean, like, every day we're looking for people. The other thing is, listen to everybody on my way home. You want to blame something, you want to blame somebody, blame ourselves. You got a problem, take responsibility for yourself. You take responsibility for your kids, your job, position you're in. If you've got a problem, then you need to look at yourself and see where you're lacking in each person personally and try and make a stride forward. If we all make strides forward, guess what? The whole nation itself will better itself.
Absolutely. We all have to be proactive.
That's basically all I really had to say. I mean, I appreciate you taking the time to listen to me.
Well, thanks for holding on, Andrew from Ann Arbor. All right, this is Night Call, and I'm Kelly Brown. Don't forget, you guys, Breaking Benjamin live in concert coming up in just a few minutes at 1 o'clock. Normally, Peter does interviews, but tonight Peter is on vacation, and we will do Breaking Benjamin live in concert. And that's about 8 minutes away, so stay tuned. Let's go to Ernie, who is calling from Monroe. Hey, Ernie, you're on Night Call. What's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing tonight?
Good. What's up in Monroe tonight?
Not at all. Actually, I'm up at work in Dearborn. I'm from Monroe. But,
okay.
I just had a couple comments on how everybody thinks we're overpaid in Michigan here, and I don't believe that's necessarily true. Nobody ever looks at the cost of living for all the people here, and I think if you're making 19 cents an hour in China, you're probably paying 5 cents for a loaf of bread over there. And it's just wrong for them to consider that and take away our good paying jobs because, you know, they're necessary out here. I actually have just done a thesis in college it was about outsourcing in the United States and our dependency, and we're dependent on everybody now. The main point of it was in World War II, we depended on nobody. We did everything on our own, and we could totally self-sustain ourselves, and we didn't require anybody else's oil. We didn't require anybody else's we didn't have computer chips back then, but we did everything on our own. And now, if we were to hypothetically speaking had an embargo placed on us, we would die in a minute, you know.
Well, it is frustrating to have to count on so many people and lose your independence. And, you know, that's what we're dealing with as far as the gas prices go and exactly what you're talking about as well. It's like we didn't need all this stuff before, you know, but now we need and need and need. And it's almost like we're in the bottom of a black hole and we're grasping at anything just to survive.
Exactly. Exactly. It makes me mad when you hear about how everybody wants to whine how everybody in the auto industry is making so much money. It's necessary. That's what it takes for us to survive out in this state. You know, I don't know necessarily what the cost of living is in other states, but you know, it's not like we're living rich here, you know, and they always want to take that away from us.
Right.
That's about all I had to say, and thank you very much, Kelly.
You, Ernie, have a wonderful evening, and go back to work.
Have a good night.
You too. All right, this is Night Call. Thank you for all your phone calls. That's about it for tonight. That went quickly. That went quickly. My name is Kelly Brown, in for Peter Werby. He is on vacation. Thank you, Peter Werby, for letting me sit in. He will be off next week as well. And that's it for Night Call for tonight. 101 WRIF. If you're just getting out of the Nine Inch Nails concert, hopefully you had a wonderful time. I know there was some people on the line that wanted to talk about it. So I know you guys had a wonderful time, and thank you for holding on for so long. Breaking Benjamin live in concert right after the break. My name is Kelly Brown. Thanks for hanging out. This is Night Call on the Riff.
And now, a word from the Riff Legal Eagles. Unless otherwise stated, all entrants for WRIF contests must be at least 18 years of age and a legal resident of the United States. A household is eligible to win one contest per 30 days every 6 months for prizes valued at $600 or higher. Greater Media Detroit and its affiliates, promotional sponsors, advertising and promotional agencies, and other radio and television stations in the Detroit ADI are not eligible to participate. One entry per person. No purchase or other consideration is necessary to participate in the contest. Void where prohibited. Prizes are non-transferable or redeemable for cash. 101 WRIF reserves the right to substitute any prize for one of equal or greater value. By participating in the contest, contestants consent to the broadcast and or publication of their name, voice, face, and or likeness without compensation. Participants listening online at www.wrif.com may receive audio that is delayed by as much as 60 seconds later than the over-the-air transmission, which could potentially affect chances of winning. General contest rules are available online at www.wrif.com or during regular business hours at the WRIF Studios, One Radio Plaza, Detroit, Michigan, 48220.
This is WRIF.com.
Cyber Crew today. It's fast and free to sign up. Get text messages and email for special ticket presale to the concerts you want. Entry to exclusive Riff Cyber Crew events. We'll even tell you when to listen to win Riff contests on the air.
It's everything I've ever dreamed.
Get your unfair internet advantage now at WRIF.com. Everything that rocks.
I'm Ton Mastery, and this is Westwood One's Absolutely Live High Voltage, brought to you by It Girl, Bad Girl, Sexy Girl. Paris Hilton is it. Front and center in the March Playboy, featuring the 25 sexiest celebrities, our annual music poll, and Debbie Gibson all grown up. Playboy on newsstands now. This week, I'm making good on the promise I made a while back, and that was to give you what you longed for, a brand spanking new concert from Breaking Benjamin. Their most recent release, We Are Not Alone, has rewarded them with great success. They seem to be in high spirits when we caught their act last October at the Roxy in Hollywood, and the crowd at the packed club was amped and ready for what took place. So, crank it up and join in the fun with Breaking Benjamin.
mama on fire. It's been a while, but Breaking Benjamin is back.
And I promise you, they'll be right back when Absolutely Live High Voltage powers back up.
Defending champion.
Like a song you just heard?
Oh, yeah!
Listen up.
Then head on over to the Digital Riff Music Store at WRIF.com and download your favorite riff tunes for just 99 cents.
Next song.
Stay connected. With 101 WRIF and WRIF.com. Everything that rocks.
You're listening to WRIF.com.
Ton Mastery back in your system with Breaking Benjamin on Westwood One's Absolutely Live High Voltage.
This song is called Away.
Oh, my God.
Are you guys having a good time so far? We're going to drop some old school listening right now. This song is called Polyamorous.
Are you in the mood for a little Nirvana? I've got a feeling Breaking Benjamin is. You'll check that out right after you check this out.
Larry King.
This is WRIF.com.
On to Westwood One's Absolutely Live High Voltage. I'm Tom Mastery, and this is Breaking Benjamin, paying a little respect to one of their favorites.
Sunday mornings, every day through all I can. Let me not stand, light my candles in a day.
Yeah.
found my friends in my head. I'm so older, that's okay, so are you. The world is Sunday morning, living day for all I care. When I step, light my candles, and I taste, cause I found a we
Are you guys still with us? This next song is off of our first record, Saturate. If you can find it, check it out. The song is called Medicate.
Breaking Benjamin on Absolutely Live High Voltage will continue right after this.
A friendly reminder from the Riff. Say please and thank you.
Give me.
Excuse yourself at the dinner table and make sure you get plenty of corn.
101 WRIF is hooking you up with a family values tour. September 9th at DTE Energy Music Theater featuring Korn, Deftones, Stone Sour, and more.
The Riff got an end-of-summer concert blowout that can't be beat.
The Family Values Tour.
You want the most tickets, the backstage passes, the interviews with the bands? Then where else you gonna get them? Except from your concert station in the Motor City. 101 WRIF. Everything that rocks.
I'm Tom Mastery, and this is Breaking Benjamin with Firefly on Westwood One's Absolutely Live High Voltage.
We'll be right back.
The song is called Simple Design.
I want to thank you all for coming out tonight and supporting Breaking Benjamin, man. You guys have been awesome to us.
How it all went down last October. Breaking Benjamin live from the Roxy was recorded by Westwood One Mobile. Biff Dawes engineer, assisted by Doug Field, Phil Kneebone, and Jay Resnick. It seems Breaking Benjamin is once again breaking in a new drummer for their upcoming tour, which begins March 1st in Allentown, Pennsylvania. Has rock and roll caught up with professional sports and being dominated by free agents? Beats the hell out of me. Absolutely Live High Voltage is a presentation of Westwood One, written and produced by Fred Lindgren, in studio production by Dave Amaya. I'm Ton Mastery. Oh, and before I leave you, this question. Why put Paris Hilton and the 23 Sexiest Stars in the same issue, along with our annual music poll and Debbie Gibson's pictorial? After 3 months of winter, we figured you could use some thawing out. March Playboy on newsstands now. We are out.
The Riff rocks Roseville this Wednesday night at Wild Woody's. It's mysterious, it's seductive, it's new and uninhibited. Join the Riff's Doc of Rock, Doug Podell, for a truly unique Wednesday night experience. Shadow dancing at Wild Woody's on Gratiot, south of 14 Mile and Rock in Roseville with 101 WRIF.
Everything that rocks. Rocks.
Everything that rocks with the Beasties on 101 WRIF Detroit.
this is Scott Stapp, and you're rocking with Jay Hudson on 101.